So we're going to continue our series today, The Good Life. We're going to go to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. We're going to look at also John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to invite us just to stand just for the reading of God's word. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. Here is what the Bible says. But the fruit, everybody say fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Everybody say joy. Let's flip over to John chapter 15, verse 9. It says this, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, here it is. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy, everybody say joy. Say it like you mean it, say joy. So that your joy may be complete. I want to preach from this theme of thought as we continue our sermon series, The Good Life. And I want to call today's message, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy this. Tell the person beside you, tell them, hey neighbor, I don't know about you. I'm going to enjoy this. Find somebody else around you, tell them, hey neighbor, I don't know about you. I'm going to enjoy this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would speak to us. God, as we begin to lean into the fruit of the Spirit, as we talked about love last week, as we talk about joy today, Father, I pray that at the end of today and even throughout this message for these next few moments, that your joy would begin to fill us from the inside out. That no matter how we came in here, I pray that we would leave out full of joy. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands for all that God has done as you go to your seat. Amen. I'm going to enjoy this. Family, I want to begin our time today by asking you a question rhetorically. Have you ever had a moment in your life that you were looking forward to and that moment finally came and you may have said to yourself or said out loud or thought to yourself, I'm going to enjoy this. Maybe it was a favorite movie that you were looking forward to. Maybe it was a trailer for a favorite movie that you were looking forward to. And then the movie finally came. It was movie release day. And you find yourself at AMC. You find yourself at Regal. And the previews are running. And then the previews finally stop. And then all of a sudden, the movie begins to come on. And you had in your mind, I'm going to enjoy this. Maybe you had a moment where you were getting ready to go to your last day of work for the week before vacation, and as soon as you clocked out, the only thing you were thinking about was vacation, and the minute you clocked out, you're saying, I'm about to enjoy this. Don't y'all text me. Don't y'all call me. Don't y'all email me. Don't y'all Facebook me. Don't y'all Instagram. Don't do nothing, because I'm going to enjoy this. Maybe if you're a newborn, you're a parent of a newborn baby, and that baby finally went to sleep. For the next 2 hours, you may have said to yourself, I'm going to enjoy this sleep for the next 2 hours. There's many moments in our life that we have where we say, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait to enjoy this, even when it comes to things like food. Some of us are already thinking about where we're going to eat as soon as today is done. Some of y'all got reservations at First Watch already and Olive Garden already and you're thinking about tropical smoothie right now in Jesus' name. And you're like, man, I'm going to enjoy that because you're looking forward to it. You're believing that it's going to do something for you and satisfy you in some way. When I think about I'm going to enjoy this, there's one thing that comes to mind. And I know we're kind of on this whole wellness plan. And one of the things we talked about with wellness was to limit or reduce your sugar intake. We didn't say remove all the sugar. Some of y'all should be saying amen. Amen. We didn't say eliminate everything, because some of us look like, does that mean I can't eat nothing sweet? No, we're gonna go easy on this. But when I think about I'm going to enjoy this, I think about this right here. This is what I think about. Y'all see that? Come on. This is a gift from God. I feel the anointing right now in Jesus' name. I feel the Spirit of God at work right now. My gosh. Then when you see this box, or when you pull up to that sign, and that thing is hot, lit up, you can smell the donuts from the outside of the building. It's almost like before you even get to Krispy Kreme, you smell it in your mind. Come on, some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're like, oh my gosh, in Jesus' name. And some of y'all are looking at this box right now, and you're like, Pastor, I'm a little hungry right now, you know, and if you need a demonstration and need somebody to consume what's in this box. And when you look at this box, you're excited, and you're like, man, I'm gonna enjoy this. I can't wait to consume this raspberry-filled donut and this glazed donut that just came off the conveyor belt, smelling all good, that chocolate-filled donut and that sprinkled donut. Come on, some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I know some of y'all looking at me with this face of judgment right now, but I can feel it in the spirit. Some of y'all, this is your weakness right here. And if ain't this, it's ice cream and Oreos. Come on, Chips Ahoy, cheesecake, apple pie, sweet potato pie. Come on, run down the list. Don't y'all look at me like this with this face of judgment. And you just looking at this, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to enjoy this right here. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, Krispy Kreme, they like to put their boxes up here all and secure them in a real way. So you got to be fighting with the box to try to open it up. Like, why y'all make it so hard to open up this box? So you see what happened here. And you're thinking about it. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to enjoy this. And then you open the box and find this. You have gone from excitement to frustration. From excitement to disappointment. From expectation to I want to put hands on somebody. Because the worst thing is to go to a place, your refrigerator, and you see this in there. Or to go to Krispy Kreme and they give you a box and you excited and your mouth is drooling and all this good stuff, only to see ain't nothing in there. It's empty. And when I think about this, y'all, about how on the surface this box looks like it has it all together. On the surface, it looks like it's filled. On the surface, it looks like whatever's in here is really good. On the surface, it has it all going on. But when you open it up, it's empty. It got me to thinking, I wonder if that's how many of our lives are. That on the surface, we look put together. On the surface, we're all nice and dressed up and got it all nice and put in packaged and package format and all that. But when we actually do some internal investigation on the inside, we're lacking, and on the inside, we're empty, and on the inside, we don't have any substance.
All right.
We live in good on the outside, but we empty on the inside. You got Krispy Kreme on the outside, but it's an empty box on the inside. And many people in today's time are living their lives looking put together on the outside, but living empty on the inside. I want to ask us a question for our reflection as we get into this sermon. What happens when your life looks put together on the outside, but it's lacking something of fulfillment on the inside? And many people are carrying around boxes in the form of life that look like fulfillment. They look like purpose. They smell like a glazed donut of happiness. But on the inside, they're empty. We've got the image, we've got the job, we've got the schedule, we've got the relationship, we've got this, and we've got that. But deep down on the inside, here's what some of us find ourselves saying, I'm not enjoying my life at all. Matter of fact, some of us came here today, and like, man, I'm not enjoying anything that's happening in life. I'm not in a place of enjoyment right now, Pastor. I feel like in many ways I'm in a place of enslavement because I'm working a job that I don't want to work, and I'm here at this place and I don't want to be here, and my life is terrible, and this person lied on me, and this person betrayed me, and I got a negative doctor's report, and I got a failing grade on the exam I didn't plan to fail, and all these things are happening in my life. There's nothing on the inside of me that feels a sense of enjoyment at all. And I just want to know, is there anybody that can be honest by a show of hands and say, I know exactly what that feels like? Where it feels like you're just going through the motions and you don't have anything on the inside that's worth enjoying, it feels like, or having a spirit of gladness. And if you're here today and you feel like that, that is very similar to what the believers were experiencing in the church of Galatia. The Apostle Paul is writing to believers in churches in the city called Galatia about what life God's way truly looks like. The book of Galatians is actually God's rebuttal, as I mentioned last week, but in case you weren't here, to give you context, the book of Galatians is Paul's letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to refute some false teaching that was beginning to creep into the lives and into the hearts of some of the believers. There was false teaching that was spreading throughout the church where they were saying that you had to not just believe in Jesus to be saved, but then you also had to do things like circumcision and all these other rituals and all these other rules and all these other different types of things that you had to do. And it was beginning to create burdensome lifestyles in the lives of the believers. It was beginning to spring up into the lives of the believers where they're now being influenced to live in a certain way. And so in verses 16 through 18 of Galatians chapter 5, you'll notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says these words, and they're profound. He talks about living according to the Spirit. So he says this, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. So I want us to see here, as I mentioned last week, when Paul talks about this contrast between spirit and flesh, here he says the Spirit. And he's not talking about just any spirit. You'll notice in your Bible, it says Spirit with a capital S that speaks of a person. The Holy Spirit, the third person in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as I said, is not an it. He is a person. He is grieved. He has joy. He is a person. And the Bible says that you and I are either living by the Spirit, following his lead, or we are living and following the lead of our flesh, our sinful nature, our sinful desires, our proclivities, the things that stir up in our flesh. And as a result of the believers beginning to have some false teaching creep in the church and creep in their hearts and their minds, the believers were beginning to fall in this trap where they're now struggling to live out the good life, a spirit-led life, and as a consequence, they are suffering from a lack of gladness and fullness. And many of them were living frustrated lives. Many of them were living empty lives, as we see throughout the book of Galatians. So here's what I'm trying to help us understand. They had the Spirit, but they weren't following him. They were saved, but they weren't satisfied. They had a relationship with God, but there was a lack of gladness there. The Galatians weren't living this good life. They were living a stressed life. They were living an anxious life. They were living a worried life. They had no gladness on the inside. They're arguing with each other. They're judging one another. They're questioning each other. They're talking about each other behind one another's backs, and they're being divisive, and they're poking holes at each other, which is why Paul says words like this in the book of Galatians. Y'all are devouring one another's flesh, meaning that y'all are constantly going at one another because you are not being led by the Spirit. You're actually being led by the flesh, because some things have creeped in your mind and some things have creeped in your heart that are not like God, but are more like the flesh and more like culture. And he says this in Galatians 5 and 7. Watch this. You are running well. Who prevented you from being persuaded regarding the truth? Paul's saying, y'all are doing so well. You were following Jesus. You were walking in the fruit of the Spirit. But then all of a sudden, life started happening. All of a sudden, some things started picking up on the outside. All of a sudden, you started listening to the outside noise. You started listening to the voice of the enemy through false teaching and things of this nature. It began to get on the inside of y'all. And because of this, family, they are now living lives that are not lived at the full potential that God has for them. And I believe that just as that was their reality 2,000 years ago, that is also many people's reality today. That many people are living lives empty on the inside and are not fulfilled. And here's the truth. You can be doing a lot of good things and still be empty on the inside. You can be busy, watch this, with spiritual activity and still be spiritually dry. You can be doing good and not feel good. You can, hear me, you can be busy but still be bitter. You can have faith and at the same time still be frustrated. You can be active and still be anxious. And as a result, instead of living the good life the way that God intended, we can oftentimes find ourselves living a stressed life, an anxious life, a worry-filled life, an angry life, an upset life, an exhausted life. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves, watch this, looking great on the outside. Yes. Little Vanna White. Yeah. But empty on the inside. You know what Jesus calls some people who kind of found themselves falling in that trap? He calls these Pharisees whitewashed tombs. He says, you're pretty and you're glamorous on the outside. You look good, you smell good, but on the inside, it's just dry bones. There's no life there. And some of us are here today. You got it going on the outside. People may look at your life on the outside. They're like, man, you got it made, man. You got the degrees. You got the relationship. You got the husband. You got the wife. And you got the car. You got everything. But what they also don't know is you don't got no joy. Matter of fact, some of us have been in some conversations and people have said that. And you probably wanted to say to them, you don't even understand what I don't have. I'm empty on the inside. On the outside, it looks put together, but on the inside, it's empty. And because we're empty sometimes on the outside, on the inside, we try to fill our lives up with all these different types of things, thinking that it will bring us fulfillment and thinking that it will bring us security and thinking that it will bring us happiness. We're familiar with the phrase, the pursuit of happiness. Can I help you understand something? Happiness, I don't know if anybody ever told you this, happiness is fleeting. Here's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. It's like a chasing of the wind. Have you ever seen somebody chase the wind? I haven't. Have you? But I imagine what it looks like. Because we can't see the wind. Right? Come on, some of y'all are like, Pastor, I have great vision. I see the wind. But if you ever try to like chase the wind, and capture the wind. How crazy does it look, right? It's like grabbing for air. Oh, I got you now. I got it. Just as much as you got it, you lost it. And Solomon, this is the one who had everything. He was considered to be the most wealthiest person in human history. He had everything. And you know what he says? Everything is meaningless. He says, I had everything, and I still felt like I had nothing at all. It's a tragic place. We're on the outside. We can have everything that this world can offer us, but we still feel empty on the inside. I heard one well-known celebrity, I can't remember who it was, but one well-known celebrity said this, I wish everybody in this world could get everything that they wanted, everything that they asked for, and be as rich as they wanted to finally recognize that after getting all that, it's still not enough. And that's what the believers are suffering from here in this text. And that's what some of us might even honestly be dealing with today. But the good news is this, that in spite of the emptiness that you and I may feel, the fleeting happiness that we experience, God has something greater than the fleeting happiness that this world offers you. God has something greater that this world cannot give you. God has something greater that culture can't give you. God has something greater that a new job can't give you. God has something greater than a new relationship can give you. God has something greater that a new car can't give you. God has something greater that a fresh pack of six-pack Krispy Kreme raspberry filled donuts, that's my favorite, can't give you. And it's something called joy. Yes. Pastor, what's the deal with joy? And how is that better than happiness? Because happiness is based upon something that's external. Joy is based upon, watch this, not even something that's internal, but something that is eternal. Yes. Happiness is based upon what's happening. Joy is based upon something of who God is. Joy is based upon not the external things, but the eternal things. And the second fruit of the Spirit that we see mentioned here in Galatians 5 after love is joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
No, say it like you mean to say joy.
Joy.
Say it like you mean to say joy.
Joy.
Here's what joy means. Gladness. A state, not a moment, a state of gladness. Meaning I live in this reality. Here's what Dr. Tony Evans says. Joy, it is the settled celebration of the soul, watch this, within us, even when circumstances don't make us happy. So even when my life doesn't feel happy, I can still have joy. And one of the key ingredients to living a spirit-led good life is to live a life of joy. Here's what Proverbs 17 says. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart, a glad heart, it is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. The good life is a life marked by joy, not joy according to the world's standard, but joy according to the Lord's standard. Because happiness is based on what is external. I'm gonna say it again, but joy is based on what is eternal. And maybe if some of you, you're here today online and in this place and you're like, Pastor, when I look at my life, I really honestly feel like I don't have much to have joy about. I have nothing to be glad about. I have nothing to be happy about. And some of us, we look at the circumstances and we're looking at our relationships and we're looking at our finances. Some of us are looking at our bank account right now, even right now as I'm preaching, you're checking to see if something hit that you were expecting to show up on Friday and it still ain't showed up. And you're like, Pastor, I'm mad right now. I don't have any gladness at all. And I'm gonna let you know, if you're basing your gladness based upon things around you, you will never have true gladness. It will be here one day, it will be gone the other. But when your gladness and when your joy is not based upon what is external, but it's based upon something that is eternal, then now you can begin to live in the joy-filled life that God has for you. I can see some of us are like, Pastor, I still don't believe it. Let me give you a scripture. Here's what Philippians 4 says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that you got a lot of money. Rejoice in the fact that you married the person of your dreams. Rejoice in the fact that you got a new car. Rejoice in the fact that you got a promotion. Rejoice in the fact that you get $1 million. Rejoice in the fact that you got the numbers to hit right on a lottery. Rejoice that you want some money when you're at the Rosies and you try to act like nobody saw you there. Paul doesn't say none of that, does he? He says what? Rejoice, not in those things, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, and again I'll say, rejoice. Why is this so profound? Because joy and rejoicing is not based upon things happening on earth. It's not based upon circumstances. It's not based upon people. He says, rejoice in the Lord. What does he mean by the Lord? The one who is faithful, the one who is good, the one who is kind, the one who is gracious, the one who forgives, the one who is loving. Rejoice in the Lord. So my rejoicing is not based upon how good life is. My rejoicing is based upon how good God is. And if we're really honest, God has given us plenty of reasons to rejoice in him. He saved us from our sin through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. That is a reason to rejoice. He answered our prayer. That is a reason to rejoice. He helped us when we needed him. That is a reason to rejoice. He healed our broken heart. That is a reason to rejoice. He helps you to graduate. That is a reason to rejoice. He provided for you in the midst of job loss. That is a reason to rejoice. And I just believe that there are some of you here today that when you look back over your life, you're like, man, my life might not be perfect right now. My life might not be good right now. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and truly all that he's done for me, my soul really does shout hallelujah. I got a reason to rejoice in the Lord. Tell the person beside you, you got a reason to rejoice. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in him. When you think about how you made it through the darkest time of your life, that's a reason to rejoice. When you think about how God was there with you when everybody else turned their back on you, that is a reason to rejoice. When you think about how you went to the doctor's office and they gave you a prognosis and they told you that you only had a few months to live, but here you are 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, you're still here breathing with breath in your body. That is a reason to rejoice. Who is here today that can say, I got every reason to be grateful to God? God has been good to me even when life has not always been good. God has been faithful to me even when life has not always been good. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice. If you're a student in here, you got a reason to rejoice. If you're a single parent in here, you got a reason to rejoice. If you're married in here, you got a reason to rejoice. Pastor, how can you say that? Because the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing in here, that is a gift from the Lord himself. That is an act of mercy from God himself. Pastor, how can you say that? Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, which means every time you and I sinned, we should have been cast out from the presence of God. The worst thing should have happened to us, but we are still here by the grace of God and the mercy of God. We got a reason to rejoice. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say, rejoice. And this is why even in the last series where we talk about anxiousness, we talked about how Paul gives these practical instructions as to how we can combat anxiousness. And one of them was this act of praise, which is why I say all the time that when we come in here on a Sunday morning, we're not coming into a funeral. We're coming into a celebration. We're not celebrating because life is good. We're celebrating because God is good. Because when Paul says rejoice in the Lord, he was writing that not from a perfect place. He was writing that from a prison with chains around his wrist. But as he got chains around his wrist, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And the way my imagination works, I wonder after he wrote that, if he waved his hand in the jail cell saying, God, I will give you praise right now, even if the other Philippian believers don't give you praise. Rejoice in the Lord always. So already we begin to see what is one key secret to joy. That one of the key elements of joy is that it is connected to the Lord, which brings us now to John 15. Because here in John 15, Jesus gives this extensive teaching about what a fruitful life looks like. So he says this in John 15, verses 1-7, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, abide in me and I in you, and you will produce much fruit. He says, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Meaning this, your life might be active, but it won't be fruitful without him. He says, just as the branch is connected to the vine, and the vine is the one that produces the life that enables the tree branch itself to produce fruit. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stay connected to me, you'll be a fruitful life and you'll have a fruitful life. But the minute you get disconnected from me, your life will begin to shrivel up. And if you feel like your life is drying up in some areas, if you feel like some things are falling apart, could it be that somewhere along the way, my Wi-Fi connection with Jesus is being interrupted? He says, abide in me and I in you, and your life will bear much fruit. And then now in verse 9, notice what he says in John chapter 15. He says these words, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So before Jesus starts talking about joy, he comes back to talking about the most important fruit of the Spirit, which we talked about last week, which is love. And we learned last week that when it comes to love, we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, meaning we love God completely. Then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, meaning that before I get the love of my neighbor, I need to first know how to love myself correctly. I need to see myself the way that God sees me. So I need to stop saying things. I'm speaking to this over some of your lives. Stop calling yourself a failure. God does not call you that. He calls you more than a conqueror through him who loves you. I have to love myself correctly. And then once I love myself correctly, I can love my neighbor compassionately. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is in many ways a Trinity picture of love. I love God, I love myself, I love others. It's an upward, inward, outward type of love. Upward, inward, outward type of love. Upward, inward, outward type of love. What is that form? It's a picture of the cross. And what greater demonstration of love have we ever seen than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dying on the cross for our sins? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved God the Father, and he loved you and I as well. Thank God that he has perfect love for all of us. And as he's talking about love, here's what he talks about next in verse 11, joy. Because where there is true love, joy will always follow. Because perfect love, the Bible says, cast out all fear, which now means it makes room for the other fruit of the Spirit to come. Joy, peace, we'll talk about that next week. But joy begins to follow love. So he talks about joy here in John 15, 11. It's the same thing that the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, and then what? Joy. Joy always follows love. Watch this. So if I don't have joy, it might mean that somewhere along the way, love has been disrupted. But when I'm resting in the love of God in Christ demonstrated towards me, when I'm walking in this love, now I can begin to live out this joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
And that's what Jesus is talking about here in John 15. Joy. Joy unspeakable. As the old church would say. Joy that you can't get from Walmart.
Well.
Joy that you can't get from Target. Target's struggling right now, y'all, I think. Joy that you can't get at any other store. You can't get it at Walgreens. You can't get it at CVS. You can't get it at the mall. No, this type of joy is not found in buying a new pair of sneakers. Yes, they look good, and yes, they smell good, but at the end of the day, they're going to get dirty. They're going to wear out. If your joy is attached to that, so will you. Since this joy is different. So I can't get joy. Hear me. Listen to me. I can't get joy from these external things, but watch this. Earthly things can't give me joy, but what earthly things can do is interrupt joy. Here's what I call them, joy killers.
Well.
I made a list just to kind of give us an idea. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a list. Here's some joy killers. Bitterness, that will mess up your joy. Not being able to forgive somebody for what they did to you. So because I'm holding on to bitterness in my heart or I'm soured, I've been jaded by something that happened, and because I haven't been healed from that, I can't have joy.
Well,
then it turns into resentment.
Yes.
So I'm holding a grudge against somebody. Y'all getting real quiet right now. That messes with joy. Comparison messes with joy. One person said it like this, comparison is the thief of joy.
Well,
so now I compare my life on social media to somebody else's life on social media, not realizing that the people who post stuff on social media, they only want you to see the good stuff anyway. They're not showing you the fact that they've been failing in other areas of their life. So you comparing your lowlights, some person would say, to somebody else's highlights. My life don't have this, but they do. And so I'm comparing myself. Here's another one. This is where some of us might struggle. A critical spirit.
Well,
always got something negative to say. We call them negative Nancys. I feel bad for anybody who's named Nancy. I don't know who came up with that. Nancy, we're sorry. We're sorry. But just negative. We'll take something good and spin it for something bad. Right? Parents, if we're not careful, we can be very critical of our kids. Come on. A critical spirit. Joker's got a 99. You're like, you didn't get 100 though. But what they don't know is you ain't never get 100 in your life, but you ain't gonna tell them that part of the story. Y'all here? Critical spirit. Got something negative to say all the time. Show me a person with a critical spirit, I will show you somebody who's not having joy. Because you can have both. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you can't critique, but critiquing and having a critical spirit are two totally different things. Complaining. Complaining about everything. Y'all, this was the very thing that caused a whole generation to miss out on the promised land in the Old Testament, because they complained against God. How could God bring us out into the wilderness? Fam, y'all were in bondage for hundreds of years, and you cried out and asked God to send a deliverer, and he finally sent somebody by the name of Moses. He delivered y'all through dry ground, and now y'all mad because y'all in the wilderness? It would be better if we go back to Egypt. At least we have some food there. You were in shackles there. But when you've been so conditioned to your disnormal, what's normal begins to feel abnormal. Complaining, discontentment. I'm never satisfied. I always gotta have more. I'm not content. Here's another one. sinfulness. Our sin can interrupt us experiencing joy. Amen. Us disobeying God can cause us to not experience joy. David experienced this. He sinned against God by sleeping with Bathsheba, committing adultery with her, and then having her husband killed on the front line. He abused his power of authority to get what he wanted, and somebody else's life suffered because of it. And it disrupted his walk with God so much to the point where in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, God sends the prophet Nathan to have a conversation with David, rebukes David to his face, and it then leads to David penning under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what we know as the book of Psalm 51, where he says this, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Blot out my sin and my iniquity." Sin can get in the way of us, watch this, enjoying life. And I'm gonna tell you how the enemy twists it. The enemy says, you can't enjoy life unless you sin. And God is like, if you keep sinning, you won't enjoy your life. Come on. And so this begins to get in the way. These are joy killers. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a good list that helps us to see. Am I falling into the trap of killing my own joy? Am I comparing? Am I complaining? Am I always being very critical? I'm always being negative. But in verse 11, Jesus gives us a masterclass on what joy is all about. I'm going to move through these quickly. Here's what he says. The good life is a life of joy. And in verse 11, we learn this from John 15. He says, I have told you these things. What are these things that he was talking about? Everything that he mentioned prior to this. Abide in me and I in you, and your life will be fruitful. He says this, I've told you these things so that my joy, everybody say joy, may be in you and your joy may be complete. Y'all, in this one sentence of Jesus, there is so much theological truth. It is so rich. Here's the first principle that I want us to see. Number one, when Jesus says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in my joy. Here's what he's teaching us in this moment. He's helping us to see, you ready for it? The source of joy. What is the source of joy, Pastor Edwin? Jesus is the source of joy. Joy is found in Jesus. Write this down. The source of joy. And he helps us to see that joy is divine. It comes from him. It comes from the Lord and him alone. And all throughout scriptures, there's many instances of people trying to find joy apart from God. And what they quickly realize is that true joy is not found apart from God. True joy is found with God. This is why Paul or the King Solomon spent this whole book all over the book of Ecclesiastes. He says this over and over. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. He had everything, but he did not have joy. And some of us think the more stuff I have, the more joy I have. No, I would argue the more stuff you have, the more miserable you might be. Because joy is not found in stuff. Joy is not found in possessions. Joy is found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. That is where joy is found. So here's what Proverbs 16:20 from the New Living Translation says. Those who listen to instruction will prosper. Watch this though. Those who trust the Lord, you see it, will be joyful. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. It doesn't say those who make a lot of money will be joyful. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The Lord is not opposed to you making money. If he gives it to you, he's entrusting it to you for a purpose, to build his kingdom, not yours. It's not my will be done, it's thy will be done. Those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. So if I want to begin to experience joy, I got to start with trusting the Lord. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says this. Nehemiah is talking to the people of God who were in this place of mourning, and they were in this place of suffering. And he says this. Then he said to them, go and eat what is rich, drink what is sweet, send portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to our Lord. Watch this. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Meaning this, hear me. My job is not the source of joy. My career is not the source of joy. My relationships is not the source of joy. My accomplishments is not the source of joy. Parents, your kids are not the source of joy. Your spouse is not the source of joy. The only one who can properly give you the joy that can fill you on the inside is the Lord himself. It is the joy of the Lord that is your strength, not anything else. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Apart from the Lord, there's no joy. And if I don't have joy, I don't have his strength. So here's what we mean by this. When you walk through hard moments, the hard moments don't take you out because you got joy.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you can find yourself in a lion's den moment and still have a smile on your face. Not because you're not scared that Mufasa and them will rip you apart. But because you know another lion who is called the Lion of Judah. And if he is present with me, he will cover me and he will keep me. And that will strengthen me to be able to endure some stuff. That means that even when I go through trials of all kinds, I can still say, I still got joy. And though this thing is not a good feeling situation, I know what Romans 8:28 says, that God works out all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I still can have joy in the midst of life falling apart. Still have joy. So I can still walk to my job tomorrow and with a smile on my face, knowing that people are still talking about me. Good morning, how y'all doing? Some of y'all would be like, no, Pastor, that's being fake. No, that's being faithful. I got joy. And my joy is not predicated based upon what you do. My joy is predicated based upon who he is. Because what you do might change with the changing of the wind. But my God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if my joy is based on him, the one who is stable, the one who is consistent, the one who is good, then it doesn't matter what kind of situation I'm in, whether it's good or bad, high or low, ugly or not ugly, God is faithful. And if my joy is connected to him, then that means I'll have joy unspeakable. Y'all, this is why when I grew up, I remember hearing so many times people say this, and I didn't understand when I was a child, but the older I got, I understood it. But some of the older members in my home church growing up would say something like this: this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I'm here to let you know that when your joy is based upon something that is not of this world, but it's based upon the one who is eternal and the one who is faithful, it does not matter what's happening. You can lose the job and still have joy. You can lose the person and still have joy. Your health can fail and still have joy. You can lose the house and still have joy. You can have a flat tire and still have joy. People can turn their back on you and you still have joy. Why? Because this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. I have joy because the source of my joy is the Lord. Here's the second thing. Not only do we see in this text the source of joy, but we also see the supply of joy. So notice what he says in verse 11. I say these things so that my joy, that's the source, may be in you. God's desire is that his joy is not just something that we come to him for, but now he wants to supply it so that it takes residence on the inside of us. Can I let you know something in here today? God, some of you might not kind of, this might cause some of us to break out in rashes and reactions. God actually wants you to enjoy your life. He actually does. Maybe not the way that you think culture says you should, but he actually wants you to enjoy the life that he's giving you. Life is a gift from him. He wants you to enjoy it. Jesus says in John 10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's offering that to us. He wants to supply it with us. And I'm here to let you, some of you know, if you came in here empty today, if you came in here without joy, if you came in here suffering right now, if you came in here in this place and your mind is all over the place and you're not happy, you're not enjoying anything, can I let you know something? There's some good news. Jesus brought you here today because he says, I want you to have my joy. I want you to have joy on the inside. And as we talk about joy being a fruit of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned earlier, this connects to what happens in the book of Acts chapter 2. Because in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came down upon the people of God at Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says something very, very powerful. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Something powerful happens when the people of God get on one accord. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven. This is in verse 2. And it filled the whole house where they were staying. Verse 3 says this: they saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So let me give you context. We don't have time to unpack it right now. The context is the people of God were sitting right where Jesus wanted them to be. They're gathered together. They're waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had been talking about all throughout the Gospels and the beginning of Acts as well. And when they're gathered together in one place, the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell down and consumed them and filled them from the inside out. This is an unbelievable phenomenon that's meant to speak to this whole idea that when you and I say yes to Jesus Christ, we are consumed and filled with his Holy Spirit, which is why our salvation in Christ is not something that we can lose. Why? Because he sealed us, as Ephesians chapter 1 says, with his promised Holy Spirit. And whatever God seals, can't nobody unseal. I'm sealed in him. And y'all, it got so crazy where the people were speaking in all types of tongues. It was a crazy phenomenon, y'all, where the Bible says around verse 13 of the same passage of Acts 2, the Bible says this: but some sneered and said, they drunk on new wine. They got that new stuff. They going crazy. Yeah, how crazy they are. How much excitement is here? For them to obviously say this, that means that this is not a dead atmosphere. This is a lively atmosphere. This is a joyful atmosphere. Here's what the Apostle Peter says in verse 14. He says this: Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, fellow Jews, and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words. Verse 15, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose. This is what I think is funny. I don't know if y'all gonna laugh. It's funny to me. It's only 9 in the morning. Peter like, yo, people ain't getting drunk that early, man. Some of y'all like, Pastor, I know some. Peter's like, this has nothing to do with physical wine being consumed. This has everything to do with spiritual wine that's been poured out in the form of the Holy Spirit, which is why earlier in the Gospels, Jesus says, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. He's speaking of the promised Holy Spirit and the new life that the Spirit of God has come to impart on the inside of us. And one of the things that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit is this fruit called joy. Because real joy is not about what's around you. It's real joy is about who's on the inside of you. The presence of God. Here's what Romans 15 says. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. That's what some of us need to understand today. God wants to fill you with joy. For some of you, that needs to be your memory verse for the week. God wants to fill me with joy. He wants to pour his joy out on the inside of my life. He wants me to live a life of joy. He wants me to be married in a place of joy. He wants me to parent from a place of joy. He wants me to work from a place of joy. He wants me to preach from a place of joy. He wants my life to be a picture of joy. The world gives joy that fades. Write this down. But the Lord gives joy that fills. The world gives joy that fades. But the Lord gives joy that fills. Which now leads to this third thing. I want to close with this. That when God gives us his joy, there's a satisfaction of joy. So in verse 11, back in John 15, notice what Jesus says. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you. In verse 11, he says this, and so that your joy may be complete. This is what I'm calling the satisfaction of joy. This word complete, write this down, satisfaction of joy. But this word complete means fullness. It means satisfied. It means to make full. It means finished. Here's the lesson I want us to understand. The joy of the Lord brings fulfillment to our hearts and lives. It satisfies us. He doesn't just give you joy to make you feel better. He gives you joy to help you, hear me, to help you live better. He doesn't just give you joy to help you feel better. He gives you joy to help you live better. Here's what Psalm 16 verse 11 says. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, some translations say it like this, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, here's what it says, is abundant joy, complete joy, overflowing joy. Here's what Jesus says in John 17 as he's praying to the Father before he would be crucified. He says, now I am coming to you and I speak these things in the world, watch this, so that they may have my joy completed in them. Hear me, the joy of the Lord is not only my strength, it's also my satisfaction. If I got his joy, I'm good, family. Whether I got a whole lot of money or a little bit, if as long as I got my joy in Jesus Christ, I'm good, because it's the one thing that never runs out. And if I got more joy, everything else will take care of itself. I got joy because I know that God is good. I got joy because I know that God is faithful. I got joy because I know that God will provide. I got joy because I know that God will protect. I got joy because I know that God will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. I got joy. It satisfies. Helps you to live a fulfilled life and a satisfied life. I want to close with this. How do I experience joy? Some of you might be asking. Pastor, I've heard you talk about the source of joy. I've heard you talk about the supply of joy, how Jesus gives it to us. I've heard you talk about the satisfaction of joy. And some of us are like, but Pastor, how do I experience this joy? Can I give you a really, really super deep answer? You ready to write it down? You ready to write it down in your Apple Notes, your Evernote, whatever you take notes in? It's really simple. Get close to Jesus. That's it. Get close to Jesus. Because joy doesn't come by trying harder in life. It comes by getting closer to Christ. It's found in his presence. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And here's what Jesus says in John 15. Abide in me, and I in you. And you'll bear much fruit. Do you want to know the cheat code to having a lot of joy? Get closer to Jesus. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. What does a branch do? It stays connected to the vine. That's it. Here's what I hear Jesus telling us. Hey, I want you to hang out with me. Because the more you hang out with me, the more closer you get to me, the more joy you'll have. It happens by abiding in Christ, by staying close to Christ. Can I help you understand this? Hear me. It happens by obeying Christ. He says, if you keep my commands, your life will be fruitful. Joy will follow. Joy will flow. You'll have a much more satisfied life. Some of us are living lives and we're not satisfied. Let's be honest. Let's be real. Can we keep it 100? I'm sorry. Can we be honest about it? I know keeping 100 might be too much. I was talking to our youth group. Can we keep it a stat? But be honest. Be honest. For some of you, life is miserable right now. Because there's no joy. You're like, I'm not enjoying anything in my life. Because I feel like there's nothing worth to enjoy. But I want to remind you of the words in the book of James, chapter 1. When James talks about joy pertaining to when we go through some rough moments in life, here's what he says in James 1 and 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, watch this, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. He's saying you can have joy in the midst of hard moments in your life, because the hard moments in your life don't remove joy. But if you stay close to Jesus, the hard moments in your life can actually help to produce something that is connected to joy. If you will be in these hard moments and say things like this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be in my mouth. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, like Job says, that he does work all things out for the good of those who love him. him and are called according to his purpose. My life is hurting right now. I lost my job right now, but I will still have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world cannot take it away. He takes my mourning and turns it into dancing. And here's the reason why we can hold on to this truth, because the Bible says Jesus made this possible. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 12. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, remember, you got to stay close to him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, meaning it started with him. Can I help you understand something? Jesus is the beginning and end of all things. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. It's got to be all about Jesus. These other religions don't lead to heaven. Only Jesus does. He's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith for the joy that lay before him. Here's what happens. He endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can y'all see what's happening here? Jesus had a picture and had a posture of joy in the midst of suffering and experiencing the most excruciating pain that anybody could experience. Jesus was suffering on our behalf. He was suffering for our sins, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So that way, when you find yourself in hard moments, you can say that I can endure this and I can enjoy this because God is still for me, because God is faithful to me. And I don't know about you, but I've made up in my mind that when hard moments come in my life, I'm going to still rejoice. I'm still going to give God praise no matter what happens in my life. I'm still going to open up my mouth and give God worship no matter what's happening in my life. So I'm gonna rejoice when things are good. I'm gonna rejoice when things are not good. I'm gonna rejoice when things are working out. I'm gonna rejoice when things are not working out. I'm gonna rejoice when people understand. I'm gonna rejoice when people don't understand. I'm gonna rejoice when I got a clean bill of health. I'm gonna rejoice when I get a negative doctor's report. I am going to rejoice no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance that I find myself in today. And I'm just looking for about 10 to 20 people today who can say, I am going to rejoice no matter the circumstance. I will have this joy that I have. It's not something of this world. This joy that I have is from God. It's from the King of Kings. It's from the Lord of Lords. It's from the great I Am. I'm leaning into his joy. Come on, tell the person beside you, you can have joy. You can have joy. Because, hear me, as we stand to our feet, a life in joy is a life to enjoy. A life in joy is a life to enjoy. The reason why you can enjoy life God's way is because life God's way has joy in it. And this is different than the world, because the world says you can't have joy unless everything is perfect. But God says the key to having joy is not having a perfect life. It's about having a perfect God. And some of us are here today and you haven't had any joy at all. But God wants to do a new thing on the inside of you today. He wants to pour out joy on the inside. I want to ask this with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment, if you're here today. Hey, like Pastor Edwin, I'm not having a lot of joy. I don't have any joy in my life right now. Matter of fact, there's been a lot of joy killers in my life. Discontentment, comparison, critical spirit, complaining, sin. It's all gotten in the way of joy. And I've tried to find joy in so many other things, but today I want to come to Jesus and experience his joy. If you're here today and you want the joy that Jesus offers you, if you're here today and you've never said yes to Christ, you've never given him your life, I'm here to let you know you will not be able to experience joy without Jesus. You need him. And if you're here today and you're saying, I want Jesus in my life, I want to come back to him, I want to give him my life, on the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. One, today is the day of new beginnings. Two, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, come on, shoot up your hand. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Praise God. Come on, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, just shoot up your hand. You want to start over with Jesus today. You want to come back to him today. He's inviting you back. He's not condemning you. He's inviting you. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. This is you, wherever you are. Come on, if you're online, this is for you as well. Amen. For every hand lifted in this place, if you're ready to give Christ Jesus your life, can you say these words? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your life I receive your joy. I believe you as my Lord. I believe you as my Savior. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, I saw quite a few hands go up, church family. Can we celebrate?